This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Brandon and I'm joined as always by my co-host Josh. Josh, how are we?
I think I'm doing well. Thank you.
We were just talking about the Always Cheating Twitter feed, which I strongly urge everyone out there to subscribe to at Hail Cheaters. And we had some weird tweets, and I do blame Monday for us in the States. It was a holiday. It was Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And so I was sitting on the couch, and usually, Josh, you're the one manning the Twitter feed, right?
I'd say good, yeah, 95 to 95.5%.
Well, so Monday, watching the Swansea-Watford game, I'm just sitting on my couch in my sweatpants, and I decide maybe I'm going to jump on Twitter and send out a few Always Cheating tweets. Hit everyone with my hot takes. So I don't know if you noticed this. I was watching the Arsenal game, and Olivier Giroud was trying his usual back heels and super flicks to oncoming Arsenal attackers, and none of them came to fruition. And it was kind of annoying because Giroud just wouldn't stop doing it. It was like the ball was a hot potato, and every time he touched it, he had to flick it.
Right.
And so then watching Swansea play Watford, I noticed that Gylfi Sigurdsson was doing exactly the same thing. Like, nobody was on Gylfi's page. Did you notice this? I did.
Yeah, and then he even got the yellow card at the end, just sort of for, like, good riddance, you know? Maybe good riddance isn't quite the right word. Just to screw any manager that might have had him on their team this week.
Yeah, so
nothing worse than the 92nd minute yellow card.
No animus to Giroud or Sigurdsson. I like both of these players, but it prompted me to send out my hot take on Twitter, in which I said, Sigurdsson and Giroud this week, proud graduates of the Premier League school for the blindly flicking the ball to nobody. Congrats, gents. Now, I managed to get one like from this tweet. And you'll never guess who actually liked this tweet. It was the Learning Disabilities Association of the Durham Region, which hails from Pickering, Ontario.
Wow. So, is that like when someone likes you as like a way, it's like they're like building up their brand or something?
I assume that it's either some intern or a bot that just whenever they see the phrase school for the blind, they immediately like it.
Yeah, there are so many Twitter feeds that I don't understand them. Like they have no like seemingly no purpose. You know, I guess they always have this crazy number of followers, which they must have purchased, right? Because you'll get followed by like, you know, Footy Tweets UK or like Best Goals Ever or whatever, and it'll be like They always have you always have suspicious when they have the exact same number of followers as they are following, and it's some crazy number. It's like 387,000 followers following 387,000 people. You know, clearly you just bought a list or something, right? That can't be real. I never totally understand that.
I do have to encourage all the Fantasy League managers out there to check out the LDA Durham Region Twitter feed. They have they're going strong with 256 followers. They have a great header on their Twitter profile. It says, "Don't diss my ability." So I think they're going to give a warm welcome to Gylfi Sigurdsson and Olivier Giroux into their ranks of disabled people. So
I like it. All right.
So again, before we get started with this episode, we wanted to give a special shout out to somebody, right?
To two people, actually. Well, one is a website, one is a human. The first shout out is to the Transfer Hub website, which can be found at triggerlips.com. That's TRIGGERLIPS.com.
And if you just Google Transfer Hub, it's the first thing that comes up.
Yeah, FPL Transfer Hub. And just a really fantastic website. They've probably driven as much traffic to the podcast as anybody. So we just wanted to give them a quick shout out. And I also think that just the kind of decision making and thinking that goes on in there is about us. Nick Cummings, the guy who runs the site, is really one of the absolute top fantasy player, and his decision making is amazing. And he also has built this great bot called Bonkers that evaluates.
I love Bonkers. I love him.
Yeah, so there's a lot of player rankings, captain picks. Weekly picks, things like that. They also do this interesting strategy challenge all year where people have to have – they're sort of locked into a formation. Like you can only play two strikers or your team. I don't know. I think you have to play five in the – everyone has
– It's like if you're sick of playing the same old templated format, his site offers you ways to sort of reinvent the game if you're a little bored.
Yeah, and it helps your thinking too. And so, it seems like really what they're doing is there's like a kind of like a adult quality to it that I really like, where it just feels very sort of measured and and like every post, I feel like he takes a breath first. He's like, all right, here's what I want to say.
Yeah, so there's an article that Nick quality. Just posted about. Raheem Mahrez versus Kevin De Bruyne. So we'll talk all about this through the episode. But coming off of De Bruyne and Mahrez's week, everyone is looking at those two midfielders as guys they might want to transfer out of their templated team. And Nick just decides he's not sure exactly what to do with these players, but through writing a very well-reasoned article about it, he's going to see if he can't make up his mind through the process. So it's sort of scientific in a way.
Yeah, so check that out. He did not ask us to do this or pay us to do this, but we just thought we'd give him a quick shout-out. So there you go.
We've got some action happening on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/alwayscheating.
Yeah, I wanted to give a particular shout-out to Mitchell Maynard, who's been writing some incredible... We started these bad Photoshops a little while ago. It really started when I did my Captain Ron Photoshop of Romelu Lukaku Photoshopped into the Captain Ron movie poster.
The great Kurt Russell movie where he plays a drunk sea captain with an eye patch.
And so some people have sort of taken up the mantle, and Mitchell in particular has done a pretty amazing job, I have to say. I thought the Brunt, which is Chris Brunt on the Burnt movie poster, the Bradley Cooper movie that came out this fall, was particularly funny.
Bradley Cooper. what makes it so funny is of all the guys in the Premier League, Chris Brunt is the guy who actually makes it into one of these funny Photoshops.
Yeah. So we've been doing a lot. We do a lot of those on the Facebook page, so go and check those out too.
I really have to do one. You've been encouraging me to get on board. I mean, I'm.
Well, I know how to use Photoshop. I mean, I don't know how to use Photoshop. For me, it's like MS Paint, you know. So if you can Photoshop, I feel like you have an obligation to throw one up there.
Well, we have one that's in the can from Mitchell, and when you told me which it was, and you'll have to go to our Facebook page to find out, I got upset because that was the one I was going to do. So I have to think of a new one. So good on you, Mitchell, for really challenging me.
I'm still trying to figure out a way to turn Bakery Lasagna into some sort of movie poster. And we talked about possibly like Garfield, maybe.
Garfield famously loves lasagna.
There had to be movie posters with lasagna out there. So I'm gonna find one, and I'm going to Photoshop Bakery Sanya into it.
All right. So We've gone through two game weeks since we last potted. We did a major two game week preview last time for game weeks 21 and 22.
Yeah, which was kind of tough, I have to say. I don't know. That podcast took us about, it took us 5 hours to record. It was really an epic podcast. And I think both of us were like, we can never do this again, because it turns out that talking about 20 fixtures just in a row for 2 hours is, you're not even like, even I had a hard time listening to that episode. There's just so much content. It was too much to get. It was very thorough. I remember I texted you afterwards and I was like, well, how did the podcast come out? And you're like, it was very thorough.
Yes. If it was nothing, it was thorough.
Yeah, it's a little more fun to react, I will say. You want to mix, you want to react, you want to predict, but just predicting the whole time. At some point, you're just like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in this game.
Yeah, and if this season has taught us anything, predicting is for fools. It's a fool's errand.
Exactly. But predict we must, Brandon. Mustn't we?
But there are no fools, so to speak, in the Hail Cheaters mini league.
That's right.
Which, of course, is
our... Which is why we're so low, unfortunately.
Yes, because we're so foolish. So up through Game Wing 22, I've got the top 10 Hail Cheaters managers right here in front of me, and we have a new number one.
That is right. I'm excited about this. You know, all respect to William C., of course. But William C. has held the
top. We're all rooting for you, William C.
For a long time, you know, Colin was up there, and then Sushant was up there, and William C. And so now it is Egan O'Keefe, who I believe was number one for the first time.
Well, yeah. Well, and his name, Underdogs, and I do like his team name because he spells dogs, D-A-W-G-S, which whenever I'm G-chatting you while we're at work, Josh, I tend to call you dog, D-A-W-G. It's a term of endearment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And I work at a veterinary clinic, so it does make sense.
Yeah, which is run by a bunch of people who don't know how to spell the names of animals.
That's right. You think we would have learned that at some point.
So Egan breaks into the 1,300 total overall points category, 1,303. So, man,
Yep, and he is an Aguero captainer, as you might expect. He had 72 points this week, did captain Aguero, also had Kane, De Bruyne, Monreal, and Butland. So that's where the 72 comes from. Had Firmino, too, who I was tempted to bring in. I really did think about Firmino. Another G-Chat conversation where you're like, are you out of your mind? You can't bring Firmino. I took out Walcott and brought in Dele Alli, which was a net of minus. I guess it cost me 1 point because Walcott.
Oh, you Walcott took a transfer did hit?
No, I didn't take a hit. The one transfer I made this week was it was 1 point because I would have had 3 from Walcott. I got 2 from Alli.
Oh, I got you. I understand.
Yeah. But you know, I do.
But you had to do that. I mean, you're saving so much money there with that transfer, and Ali is going to do just as much as Walcott, probably more though. He's already done more.
It's true, but it would have been nice to have the two transfers this week, especially now because I have this. We'll get to this in a minute, but you know, I have this Aguero decision that I have to reckon with now. You know, I have to decide. I've decided, you know, like so many fantasy managers, I'm deciding whether I want to stick or get rid. But let's finish up on the Hail Cheaters top 10 first before we get.
Yeah, it's not about us right now. Let's to our friendly listeners.
We don't matter.
So William C. is he struggled. He had 50 points, but now he's 2 points behind with 1,301. So somehow he's keeping it up there.
We had Take a Load Off Mane, Sean Kaminsky in third. IX Trees Down, Colin B holding steady in, actually they're tied for a third, 1291, and Keep Calm and Climb Up. Was that a new name for Muhammad Al?
I don't recognize it, so maybe it's just some motivational thinking there from Muhammad.
Yeah. Our friend Sushant is down to sixth. Sushant got rid of the other two teams in the Hail Cheaters League. I felt like... I guess we teased him so much that we were just having fun. You know, he could have had those teams in the league.
Josh, you underestimate the power we wield as influential podcasters.
Calvin Chan's anti-form.
Sushant, give all of your money to charity.
anti-form, Calvin Chan is in seventh. Another new name, I think, in the top ten. Yeah. Gutfeel, Ron Kane in eighth. Eye of Nabumbu in ninth. And... Kazer, you say that one. You said it right before.
Kazer Berslotten FC.
Laith Kabak. Laith Kassab's team. is intent. All right. I said kebab. I said that like who was that manager? The guy who was the general manager of Newcastle for like 6 months. And he had that famous interview where he mispronounced everybody's name. Do you remember this? And he called Johan Kabay Johan Kebab.
I don't remember this. Like
his name.
Very much like Louis Van Gaal calling the Queen's Park Rangers the Queen's Park Raisins, which is
which is still how I hear them in my head after that.
It never gets old. So game week 21, it's not even worth talking about. Everyone out there, we had terrible weeks.
It was a miserable.
I mean, it was actually a compelling week for the league. Lots of really interesting results. But game week 22 is where people actually scored points. And I happily was one of those Aguero captainers, and his 32 points took me up to 77, which is, in fact, my second highest tally of the entire season, which wow. is kind of sad. I feel like at this point in the season, you've had at least one run-in with 80 to 90 points.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised by that, actually. I mean, through 22 weeks, yeah.
So, I mean, you can guess what my biggest point haul was. It was 102 when I also captained Aguero when he had his famous 5-goal game. But
that's right. That's right. Yeah, I think I finished a couple points shy of 100. I had like 98 or something. I also captained him that week.
Yeah, I feel pretty fortunate. I know a lot of people chose to captain Harry Kane, which was not a terrible decision. But I also had Kane up front. But that 77 total jumped me about 400,000 overall rank points, which is which of course brings me up to like 560,000 overall.
Yeah, I finished with 58 points, which is more than respectable. It was enough for a yellow arrow. I have made up about 200,000 spots in the overall rankings. I'm starting to, I guess, slowly get close to respectability. I mean, at this point, if I can just finish in the top 100K, I think I'll just write that. The season will be like a tax write off for me, you know, just like whatever.
Yeah, 100K yeah. is my goal too, for sure. I mean, that's really the best that anyone can hope for at this point. So yeah, I decided to save a transfer. So I'm going into this upcoming week with two frees, and
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
It is an interesting spot. I'm not even sure I want to spend those two because one of my main targets is Dimitri Payet. And the thought of spending two transfers, though they're free, to get Payet in for a Manchester City match, it's not ideal. So I'm trying to think of what I can tweak with one transfer and then save again, too, for the following.
That's interesting. Yeah, I guess you could probably make a move. There's always a move in the defense you could make, right? And maybe
my continuing Reese Oxford problem.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. And I don't know if Wayne Hennessy is kind of a doubt moving forward.
Yeah, I don't know. People are worried about that.
I read an interview with Alan Pardew where he said he basically like had to he had like a week like it was like we'll see how he does in practice this week. I think that he would prefer not to drop him, but he may have no choice. So I think that's kind of what we're.
So is Spironi going to come in or McCarthy?
Yeah, I guess it could. So that's an interesting one. I mean, McCarthy started the season, right? So it could be McCarthy. Yeah.
Spironi hasn't seen any game time at all, so presumably McCarthy is first one up.
It's weird that Spironi's even on the team, right? Because they actually had a testimonial match for him at the end of last season. So it's like that Ben Folds Five song, Steve's Last Night in Town. You know, it's like
Spironi's Last Night in Town.
They had the going away party for Spironi, and he's still in the team. And they're like, "Wait, why are you still here, Julian? And you got to get out."
I bet there's something with Spironi that is intangible to that team. Like maybe he just has like a super hot wife that hangs around a lot, and they're like, "Oh well, let's keep Spironi on the team."
I don't know if I can abide by this Freddy theory of yours.
or maybe he just brings really awesome dishes to team potlucks or something like that. Something a little more wholesome.
That's what I like. Yeah. Okay. Don't you remember right, we're the kindler, gentler fantasy Premier League pod?
Yeah, exactly.
We're the pod you can share with the whole family.
All right, so yeah, I guess that's a wait and see. I'm not gonna touch Hennessy until I see absolute proof. I mean, I had a 9-point game week from David De Gea, which is, you know, De Gea of old. He loves playing against Liverpool. He always pulls out these top drawer saves when he's playing Liverpool. He loved that. I'd love to see a keeper get bonus points.
Yeah, and I made a 2 a.m. For some reason, I just wasn't thinking clearly when I was setting my team last night and. Or you know, a few nights ago, and you know, I went to bed, and I was laying in bed. My computer was shut off, and I was trying to fall asleep. This is Friday night, like 1 a.m. or something. And
this is a very very descriptive scene you're painting for us.
I lead a very exciting life, and I so I'm laying there, and all of a sudden I'm like, wait, what are you thinking, Josh? You can't start Russell Martin over. So my thinking was, I'm going to start Russell Martin on the road to Bournemouth, and I'm going to have Smalling be my first defender off the bench. Okay. Because I felt like it was more, you know, Norwich had kept, you know, clean sheets, you know, the, you know, 2 weeks in a row, you know, they didn't keep a clean sheet at Stoke, but they kept a clean sheet the two games before that. And so I thought, well, you know, Bournemouth, struggles to score, you know, often struggles to score, I guess.
Sure.
Or they, you know, sometimes they usually get one goal from someone you've never heard of, and it's always someone new.
Yeah.
It's incredible. It's like everyone in that team has scored. Like, by the end of the season, the goalie will have scored.
Well, I decided that, you know, we have the game eater who plays for Swansea, and I thought for Bournemouth we needed to have the game arter for Harry Arter. Yeah.
Maybe it'll be like a relegation fight or something. Actually, the game arter was pretty funny. I should have given you some credit for that.
Yeah, please.
Before
do.
I moved out.
Give me your pity laugh.
By the,
I get likes from the Learning Disability Association. I don't need your respect.
That's true. No, can't you see like game week 38? They're down. You know, it's a 1-1 game in extra time, and mm-hmm. you know they're like they need the win to avoid relegation. Like they're like neck and neck with Sunderland. Okay. And they finally win a corner kick in the 91st minute. Corner kick comes in. Archer Baru comes up for the corner kick, scores the goal, wheels away, trips.
How does he celebrate?
Olivier Giroud scores on him. And how would Baru celebrate? I think Baru would celebrate by, you know, he's already got that like, that tattoo that looks like, it makes him look like a bodyguard, you know, with like the little like wire in his ear.
Yeah,
like
I always think of like a Padawan braid he's from Star Wars.
So I think that under the corner flag, he has buried an entire suit, a full suit. And when he scores the goal, he walks over there, he puts on the entire suit, puts on the tie, ties the tie, and then grabs a real earpiece and then pretends to be a security guard for the rest
That's
of the
That's incredible. I think like Joel Campbell pulling the pacifier out of his shorts, Baruch should pull the entire suit out of his shorts as opposed to out of the ground.
Well, and you don't get – I mean, you get a yellow card for taking off clothes, but do you get a yellow card for putting on clothes? Does it work?
No.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think it's in the rules.
And also within the rules, I think if every player on your team scores throughout the season, do you not win a spot in the Europa League for that?
That should be a rule. If Michel Platini was running FIFA, that would have been a rule. But now I guess we'll never have it.
All right, Josh, I have a question for you. Are you ready to spend some money?
I am, yes. Let's do this.
Okay, so we want to talk about what I have deemed the return of the heavy hitters. Now, we've seen Mahrez miss two penalties over the course of three matches. Jamie Vardy's goals have dried up. Igalo, everyone's favorite cheapo striker, goals are also drying up for him. But here we have now a litany of heavy-hitting strikers that are making a compelling case for us to spend a little more money on our squad. So let's just go down this list. We pulled out, you can all guess which six players we're going to look at.
Can they guess six off the top of their head? Wouldn't it be amazing if someone was like, oh, clearly you can talk about Aguero, Rooney, Costa, Giroud, Kane, and Lukaku, right?
Yeah, exactly. Off the dome, six strikers.
I also like. I'm looking at your notes here. I like that you put everything in British pounds. That's really you went for like a real authenticity here. Like, did you have to find the pound symbol? Like, did you Google pound symbol?
Yeah. So what you could do one of two things. You can Google just pound sign, or you can Google pound sign keystroke. So I decided today to not teach myself. how to do the actual pound sign keystroke. I just copied and pasted it from a Google search.
Gotcha. Well, it looks very nice.
Thank you very much. We have a very detailed running order today. So I'm looking at these six players, and we'll touch upon all of them. But the one that immediately jumps out at me is Wayne Rooney, who and I pulled out stats from the last three fixtures for all these guys. Over the last three games, Rooney with 4 goals, 1 assist, and 6 bonus points. I was kind of struck by how cheap Wayne Rooney is right now. And
yeah.
Surely because he's had a really terrible season and people had him and immediately dumped him.
But he's listed
at 9.9 million pounds.
I have a couple of days to decide what I'm going to do with Aguero and whether I'm going to bring him in or not. And Rooney is actually part of that decision-making process because I could Vardy, I'm feeling a little done with at the moment. Leicester is, it's all starting to crumble, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, it's hard to deny it.
They're still grabbing. I mean, honestly, those Mahrez is Mahrez shouldn't be on penalties for one thing. I mean, Jamie Vardy is like a lethal pinpoint striker who should be taking these penalties.
I totally agree. Yeah.
And they've lost 4 points in the last, what is it, 3 or 4 game weeks? So Bournemouth was the game where it was a 0-0 draw and he missed the penalty. Yeah. And Aston Villa was 1-1 draw with the missed penalty. And I realized that everything doesn't hinge on those penalties. I mean, they still had chances to score, and Vardy missed a difficult but an opportunity he probably would have scored on earlier on the season.
What an audacious
near the end of that Aston Villa match.
So it's an incredible that he thought. And you were saying you would have had an assist from Schmeichel. He just launched that kick.
The thing is, you just have to accept that if you get rid of Mahrez or Vardy, that eventually let's focus on Vardy here, just because we're talking about these strikers right now. If you get rid of Vardy, he is going to score sometimes. I mean, they're strikers. Like, if they don't score, they don't start. And these guys are all going to, you know. So the decision for me is I don't make a transfer this week, and I save up to have 2 transfers next week that I could turn Vardy into Aguero, or I can turn Vardy into Wayne Rooney right now, and I have enough money that I could do that without burning any points. So it's a very tricky decision, and the West Ham fixture is not one that I'm particularly excited about. That I would be particularly excited about as an Aguero owner. And I'm not. I mean, I
James
wouldn't bring
Collins is a brick wall.
And I wouldn't bring in Aguero for this weekend. I'm not going to burn 4 points to bring in Aguero, especially not with enough quality players playing at home this game week that right. It's not necessary to have Aguero, I don't think. But after that match, he plays Sunderland and Leicester.
And then that game is followed by Spurs, which everyone knows how Aguero loves to score goals against Spurs.
Right. So there's a bit of a concern there about having him. It's just a tough one because, you know, Vardy is home to Stoke in the next game week. And, Arsenal didn't look as strong because, Ozil was a late scratch. But, you know, Stoke is an accomplished team that shuts down good teams. And
yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So
Rooney's up,
a captain,
Rooney's,
Leicester playing that match.
But Rooney's upcoming fixtures, Southampton, Stoke, Chelsea, and Sunderland. There will be goals it seems hilarious to say that there will be goals in United for those games, definitely, because it's been very tough for United to score. But Rooney on form, clearly he is now. Those are all games that he could get a goal apiece in those 4 upcoming fixtures.
So the question
is that compelling for you?
It is compelling. I mean, I will also say that the Aguero home match to Crystal Palace, a Crystal Palace team that is in terrible form right now, that has not been playing well for about 6 weeks, basically doing exactly what Pardew's Newcastle teams used to do, which is start off the season super hot, be right in the Champions League, Europa League mix, and then just sort of slowly fall off over the course of the rest of the season.
Right.
The last assist that Aguero picked up was a complete joke, right? I mean, Crystal Palace was looking to score and they committed like 9 men forward, and he basically he should have had a hat trick, so you lost 1 point there.
Yeah, Joel Ward could not manage to stand up on any of those plays. I was convinced that Aguero was going to shoot that ball, but instead he chose to square it to Silva, which was the easier. Like, that angle for Aguero's shot was getting diminished by the millisecond. I think he made the right decision, and I'd rather have that easy three-point assist from Aguero than him probably missing the goal attempt.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, so this is the question. I mean, Jim Payne on Twitter asked us, Black Horse Cav 85 says, how silly of me is it to think I can do well for the rest of the season without Aguero? And this is for guys like us who are in the 9 millionth spot, you know, this sure. A guy like me, at least, but if you're a contending, you know, if you're trying to win your mini league or you're contending for the top overall spot, or you're just trying to break into the top 1,000, like, whatever, you have to resolve this question. You have to resolve it quickly.
Yeah.
And I do not think it's completely open and shut. I mean, like, he had a two pointer last week. And,
yeah, no, you know, I agree.
Yeah.
I don't want to gloat about it, because as everyone listening to this podcast knows, I've basically been laying in wait for this moment for like 2 months. Aguero's been either sat on my bench or playing 85 minutes and blanking. And this was the game. This was the Crystal Palace game was the game that I had invested in for. So the jury is still out whether he's going to replicate it. I would say almost certainly he will, based on his form. And if you can afford him, get him in now.
Yeah. I have to agree with you. I don't know how I could. So the argument against him is the money, but that I find that argument slightly less compelling, because you can basically have a midfield full of people who are sub 8 million right now, and they'll perform as well. You could have a midfield of Mesut Ozil and three sub like 7.5 million midfielders. Let's say 7.8 if you want to include Dimitri Payet. Or I guess he's up to 8 million now. So let's say 8 million or below. And that just gives you tons of cash to spend on your forward line. So in a typical season, his cost, I mean, we talked about this in an earlier podcast, but in a typical season, his cost wouldn't be, would make it prohibitive. You know, but he's still not quite enough, amazingly. He had to be closer to like 15 million for it not to work. I think what makes him especially compelling at the moment is that his ownership level is so low. So, I mean, for one of the few times you'll ever see in a season, Sergio Aguero is actually a bit of a differential right now.
Right, 20% ownership on the dot. And exactly, and that's how I was able to jump up this week, is I chose to captain Aguero, and I really needed him to score or have a big haul this week, because I feel like he's not going to be this kind of differential for much longer. I mean, maybe as early as next game week, his ownership is going to go up by 5-10%.
Yeah,
it depends on how quickly people deploy their wild card.
I think that's part of it. And the price does make it a little tricky for some people, because you're gonna have to burn a trend. So I think that the argument against him is that you could build when Alexis Sanchez gets back, if Eden Hazard or one of the other expensive midfielders finally finds their form, that you could have a really expensive midfield that you couldn't have if you had Sergio Aguero, and that may come to pass at some point, but.
Right.
I don't know. Well, so, I mean, for me, I'm still a little on the fence, to be honest. I mean, my season has been such a complete, like, just mess, and it's gone so terribly that, you know, I mean, there's an argument made for just, like, not bringing it. I'm really, to be honest, I mean, I'm sort of talking myself through this as we go through the podcast, because.
Nick Cummings style.
So.
Do you want me to run through this list of other heavy hitters that are on the table, and maybe we can figure out another guy to slot into your squad?
Squad? Let's get into some more of these, because even if you have Aguero, you still need to fill out the rest of your forward line. So, how I decide this is not of supreme importance here.
So we have this is sort of an order of diminishing returns. You have Aguero at 13.3. Last three fixtures, he has 3 goals, 1 assist, 6 bonus points. Then in comes Wayne Rooney at 9.9. He has 4 goals, 1 assist, and 6 bonus in the last 3 game weeks. And then here we have everyone's favorite villain, Diego Costa. He's kind of up there now. He's 10.7 million pounds, but we see he's got 2 goals and 2 assists Not a big bonus magnet, though. Only one bonus in the last three fixtures. How are you feeling about Diego Costa? I remain convinced that this shin bruise is not going to keep him out.
I mean, of the expensive strikers that we're talking about here, I actually think he's probably the sixth most of the six that we're talking about. I think he's the sixth most appealing.
Okay, so then
the bottom of the pack.
So then after Costa, here I've got listed Olivier Giroud. He's at 9.2 million in the last three fixtures. He's 2 goals, 1 assist, 3 bonus. Harry Kane at 10.0, prices on the rise. Only 1 goal and 1 assist and 1 bonus in the last three game week. So you have to.
They did come in the last fixture, though.
They all did. So perhaps his form is coming together. And their upcoming fixtures: Crystal Palace away, Norwich away, Watford at home, then Manchester City away. And then down here at the bottom of my list, Romelu Lukaku at 9.2 million, 0 goals, 1 assist, 0 bonus. And his form is on the wane, but they have had some very tough games in the last 3 weeks. So it's hard to know where to place the blame.
It is tough. And
Away to Chelsea, away to Man City, and then home to Spurs. So all the three, you can't lay all the blame on Rom there.
Yeah, I saw a stat about how many people are transferred out Lukaku this game week, and it's rather high. He's the third most transferred out for actually he and Giroud, surprisingly. I guess people are making the move for Aguero.
Yeah,
but 44,000 people have transferred out Lukaku in this game week already, and he is not the forward I would be transferred out right now.
Well, look at their upcoming fixtures, Everton. It gets very good for them all of a sudden.
Swansea, Newcastle, and West Brom at home in the next three of the next four.
Yeah, and then there's Stoke away, which, you know, like we were saying earlier, not an easy game. But, you know, the last time Everton played Stoke over the festive period, it was a 4-3 game.
Yeah, that's true. The weird outlier of Stoke season. But
So
Kane is it's Vardy to me is the one who probably has to go. And if you have Aguero.
Don't forget about Ighalo. Just because neither of us have Ighalo in our squads, a lot of people still do. And if he's gone cold, is he a higher priority to get rid than Vardy?
Yeah, probably. Well, I don't know, actually. That's an interesting question. So Watford, maybe not this next game week. I mean, Watford is home to Newcastle the next game week.
Yeah.
But then they're home to Chelsea, which could be a tough match. Away to Tottenham, away to Crystal Palace. I mean, they're going to struggle to score in both those games. And maybe if you just want to make the move right now a Ighalo to Aguero is like, you need like 7 million, right? I mean, it's a huge.
Yeah, you need to mortgage your team.
Yeah, that might take 3 transfers to pull off. So I think. But if you were to – okay, so let's say you're not sold on Aguero yet, or you already have Aguero on your team and you have Ighalo. Let's rank the heavy hitters, Brendan, from 1 through 6, okay?
Okay.
So just to recap, we've got Aguero, Rooney, Costa, Giroud, Kane, Lukaku. And these are the 9 million-plus guys who are all contenders for people's front lines, all people that you want to at least look at, even if it's a passing glance like the one I'm giving to Diego Costa.
So how are we going to do this? Do we have to agree on the ranking?
Maybe we can come to some sort of consensus.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So this might be easy. So number one, I think is got to be Sergio Aguero for all the reasons we've just named. So let's not dwell on that one too much.
It's been a season of odd form, but you simply cannot discount the last 2-3 seasons for Sergio Aguero. He has the greatest potential of all these guys.
Totally agree. Okay. So the second spot is a bit trickier. You've got Lukaku, where it's a fixtures or reform issue, and you've got Wayne Rooney, who I think those are the two people that I would be looking at for that second spot.
Right. There is a concern for Rooney that United just doesn't have an attacking squad, and some of his goals have been slightly fluky.
But they've had these encouraging wins, these late wins. You wonder if they're building some momentum right now. It was a good win. I mean, it was not an exciting game, but it was good for them to pull off that 1-0 win in Liverpool. And you wonder if that fires. It was a great goal too. I mean, he if there was no net, that ball would still be traveling. You know, you hit that thing like a million miles an hour.
Yeah.
So I think I would go. I would go Wayne Rooney and then Harry Kane third.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. Huh? I would go Wayne Rooney and then Lukaku third. Okay. It's kind of a tough one. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. It is tough. And I would look at it this way. Like, if you still have Lukaku in your squad, I wouldn't get rid of Lukaku to bring Wayne Rooney in.
No.
However, if you had neither and were looking to get one in, I would at this moment be tempted to bring in Wayne Rooney just because he has the hot hand. So, agreed.
The hot hand theory, the off-disputed hot hand theory.
Which it seems at odds with itself because in soccer or football, you're not allowed to use your hand. So
it's an NBA expression, I think. I feel like we find a way to work the NBA into a lot of our podcasts somehow.
It's a popular sport.
So, okay, let me ask you this, Brandon. What percentage of people in the Premier League do you think own Wayne Rooney?
I would say
a lot of Man United fans out there.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the fan impact on ownership. I'm going to say 12%.
9.5%.
Oh, interesting. Obviously lower than I guessed. That seems about right. That does seem about right.
Yeah, his price actually rose as we recorded this podcast. He went from 9.9 to 10.0.
There you go, Wayne. You got the always cheating bump.
But 9.5 seems pretty low for a player who has 8, 16, and 9 in his last three fixtures, and he has two home fixtures back-to-back coming up.
He's just had so much ground to make up with FPL managers, and those 3 weeks have kind of come in quick succession, so people haven't really had time to react.
No, that's true. If you're picking between Rooney and Aguero, I mean, the choice is pretty easy. But, you know, if you're someone like me, it's tempting to make a very risky punt. And, I mean, the thing is, you know, Man City, they have the second leg of the Capital One Cup coming up next week. Yeah. You know, Champions League fixtures start soon. He's got some injury issues. Mm-hmm. There could be, I mean, you could see him get rested away to Sunderland or something like that. I mean, it's not entirely, or you know, come off the bench or something like that. It's not, you know, there could be a moment where he doesn't play. I don't know. I mean, it's a tough one, but
they're 1 point off the top of the table. They're going to be scrapping for every win they can get in the league. If they sit him for anything, it'll be the FA Cup, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Pellegrini came out and said, Aguero is good to play 3 games a week. And I think that's him basically it's him playing mind games, I'm sure, where opposing teams won't know whether Aguero is going to get rested or not. But
that's true. It's also insanity, right? He's clearly not. I mean, if you play Aguero 3 games in a week any more than like once or twice a season, he is going, like, his leg is going to fall off.
Yeah, his poor little arms and legs will fall off.
He's like, he'll be like a chicken that's been like in a slow cooker or something. It's all just going to fall apart. It's going to fall right off.
All right, so we got to finish ranking these heavy hitters here, Josh. So we can agree: Aguero 1, Rooney 2, Lukaku number 3. That leaves us with Diego Costa, Olivier Giroud, and Harry Kane. So Harry Kane got to be number 4. Just surrounded by all that attacking talent, he's going to create and siphon goals every which way.
I don't know. I think I might actually put Giroud number 4. He's a little bit cheaper. You know, he's a little more consistent the last few game weeks. Kind of has to play every week because they don't really have somehow Arsenal doesn't have another striker. I don't know how this happened, but they don't. Joel Campbell certainly is not that player. So, I mean, he basically has to play constantly. He's got the body. I mean, I think that he's got the physical strength to play week in and week out without it doing too much damage to him.
Yeah, great body. Really great.
Great body. So they have two home fixtures coming up, and then they're away to Bournemouth and they're home to Leicester. So those are 4 pretty solid fixtures right there.
All right. I will respectfully disagree. I'll put Harry Kane ahead of Giroud. But Giroud would come after Kane, and then Diego Costa perhaps last, just for the wild card nature of him and that Chelsea team.
Exactly. Too many yellow cards. He's a bit of an injury doubt now. For the upcoming game week. So I think that for all those reasons, Costa, I would put 6th. And part of it, too, is that there's no real differential advantage in picking Costa over someone like Giroud or even Rooney because the ownership, you know, it's, I mean, the ownership levels are all pretty comparable, you know. Yeah. So I don't think there's any real, you know, I mean, we kind of know what we're going to get with Diego Costa at this point. A couple goals and an injury, lots of yellow cards, one really dumb mistake.
This is great. This is the perfect time in our season to have the return of the heavy hitters. I feel
also
like
his fixtures are a bit worse, too. I mean, they play Arsenal and Man United in two of the next three.
Yeah, forget Chelsea. I hate Chelsea. I hate talking about Chelsea. They've been the worst fantasy team in the league this season. They've screwed everybody.
Yeah, let's just move on. So we're what? We're like 15 minutes in the podcast right now?
Yeah, just 15. We're like a third of the way through the running order. All right, let's just jam on this Game Week 22 review. There are a couple of key fixtures we want to touch upon. We just spent a lot of time talking about Chelsea and Everton by way of Diego Costa and Romelu Lukaku. But here's an interesting midfielder question for you. One of the big takeaways from this Chelsea-Everton game was Chelsea's midfield. Willian, everyone's darling, blanked, and Fabregas walks away with a goal and an assist. I wouldn't be the person to read anything into that. Willian has still got to be your man.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Fabregas just turns it on and off. And I mean, Fabregas, you know, he had a goal and assist in this game. That brings him to one goal in the season. And it moved him from two assists in the season to three assists. I mean, he's not, his price is so high, too. I mean, you could not spend $8.4 million on Seth Fabregas.
Yeah, and William blanking, this is a weird week for midfield blanks, like Payet blanked, Dele Alli blanked, Willian blanked, Firmino, who guys like you are really interested in for whatever reason, also blanked.
He is such a strange. He has a like. He was smiling way too much at the end of that Liverpool game. They were down 1-0, and he was running around playing.
Firmino, you're talking about?
Firmino. They were down 1-0, and he was playing very poorly. And he was smiling on the pitch. And as a Liverpool fan, that must have like, oh, I would have wanted to strangle him. You know, it was just so. he was having way too much fun for a guy who was like, for a team that was desperately trying to score a goal.
So this Everton team is like a defensive disaster. I mean, Martinez basically likes them to run a completely suicidal formation. But what you can say is Leighton Baines and Funes Mori both walked away with a lot of points from this game.
Yeah, as someone who owned Seamus Coleman for a while, and I learned from my mistake. You know, you just can't have Roberto Martinez's teams just don't play defense. And yeah. And it's just there are too many other Toby Alderweireld's or Aaron Cresswell's out there, players who will give you the attacking points but will also give you the occasional clean sheet in a way that you're just not getting with Everton. I mean, they have kept like so few clean sheets. Yeah. And I say that knowing that they kept a clean sheet away to Manchester City just a couple of days ago, which is kind of a fluky game, right? I actually watched a fair amount of that game.
It was a total fluke because John Stones gave away a clear penalty, and for whatever reason, it didn't get called.
We didn't even have a chance to talk about that. Yeah, you must have been livid.
Yeah, because Aguero was still on the pitch, he would have taken that penalty, and he would have gotten me all three bonus points.
Yeah, we were pretty tight in our head-to-head that game week too.
Yeah, I really needed that to happen, and it just sort of all went to seed.
Took the wind out of your sails.
It really did. So, yeah, Man City, Crystal Palace, Aguero totally wiped out Palace, which they just look to be in awful form. And my big concern here is what's going to happen to my darling Wayne Hennessy. My cheapo goalkeeper. Is he going to get taken out of rotation?
It's a tough spot. You know, also, one thing we haven't talked about either is Gomez now having to compete with Costel Pantamilan, who just moved to seal the deal and move from... What a strange mid-season move that is.
You would guess that Pantilimon just really hated it at Sunderland, or he got off wrongly with somebody on staff.
Sam Allardyce, perhaps? That would not be a shock.
I mean, there is no way that Pantilimon is going to jump ahead of Gomez in that Watford lineup.
Are you so sure? I mean, Gomez is not a good goalkeeper.
I am positive.
As someone who watched Gomez play at Tottenham for many years... He is not a very good goalkeeper.
Yes, he will make a world-class reflex save, but then he will commit an egregious howler. It's true. But he's a folk hero at Watford. He was one of their players of the season last year in the championship to get them promoted. And, I mean, he's had a few mistakes this season, notably against Leicester, but I don't think he's done anything to lose a spot.
They haven't kept a clean sheet since game week 17. You know, it's,
well,
it's
yeah, that's because their midfield and their defense is kind of hot guard. Like, do they even have a midfield? What is that midfield?
It is a weird midfield. It's like, who's in that?
Like, I mean, this
like it's guy, like it's a outside of Kapoue, I like the it's I guess Ben Watson.
Well, this guy Jose Jurado is meant to be their number 10, and he's just terrible. He's so terrible.
How many bad shots on goal did he have in that Swansea match? It was like 13 shots.
None, because he didn't. None of them were on goal. He had a lot of bad shots off target for sure.
Yeah, that whole that midfield is a complete disaster.
I don't know. I guess it wouldn't be totally out of this world if Pantilimon snuck in there, but I would be surprised.
Yeah, it's okay. Anyway, sorry to get back to the original question though. I think I don't know what's going to go with Hennessy. You know, it sounds like he's got like a week to prove himself. So we'll see. I mean, you can't be that worried though, right? Because you've got David De Gea, so there's really there's no match where you can't play him. You know, I mean, even in a match like a way to we saw he had kept a clean sheet at Liverpool, but you know, even a way to a team like Arsenal or Man City or whatever, even if they score a couple goals, he's probably still gonna end up with 3 or 4 points. Exactly.
Yeah.
He always comes through, you know, big in a big match. So I wouldn't worry too much about that.
While we're just randomly jumping around game week 22, can we go to this Bournemouth Norwich game where Bournemouth wins 3-0? And talk a little bit about Benik Afobe, their new forward they just signed. He's 6.1 million, and he scored his first goal against Norwich. So is he the new Callum Wilson?
Maybe he is, because it says he has a knee injury right now. So he's joining him on the way out.
Yeah, I'm not particularly captivated by anything about that Bournemouth team, but one to watch.
None of the defenders are intriguing to you?
Well, actually,
Charlie Daniels.
I guess
coming through.
18 points, is that true?
18 points. Yep, he had a goal, an assist, and a clean sheet, and 3 bonus points. You do not see an 18-pointer very often. I think
you will never hear from this man again the rest of the season, I can tell you that.
I believe I actually had an 18-pointer last year with a Chelsea defender, and I'm wondering who that was. It must have been Ivanovic.
It had to have been.
Yeah,
it
had to be Ivanovic. Charlie Daniels, the most expensive of all all the defenders for Bournemouth, at 4.6 million. So not prohibitively expensive, but you know, if you're like cruising through and you're playing your wild card and you're like, they're all the same.
For the next 2 weeks, you could play a Bournemouth defender. Sunderland and Crystal Palace coming up. They're both away matches, but still.
You're feeling pretty good about them in both cases.
I have to come clean, too. I owe you a bit of credit for urging me to bring in Junior Stanislas, who I dropped. Who did I drop? I dropped somebody from my midfield.
Ross Barkley.
Yeah, I dropped Ross Barkley, and to help me afford to bring Kane in for Jamie Vardy, I brought in Stanislas. And I was a little concerned that Stanislas was going to lose playing time because of these movements in the transfer window for Bournemouth, but he slotted in nicely with a whopping 3 points, replacing Mesut Ozil in game week 22.
He'll take that. That's what he would have had, possibly, Ozil, if he'd played. I mean, you couldn't even feel that bad when Ozil was out with that injury, right? I mean, you were already looking at...
I was flying high. It was a bummer just because I didn't get to watch him play.
Right, and maybe you could have gone for like a huge week, you know, 94.
Yeah, exactly. No, it wasn't like the depriving me of the pleasure of watching a magisterial athlete in full... glide. No, it was all fantasy implications. Took a little fun out of the fantasy game.
That's fair. Okay, so Man City, Crystal Palace. Weird time because for, you know, like it seems like it was only like 2 or 3 weeks ago that we were all talking about Crystal Palace defenders, and now it seems like you like want to run screaming from all.
Yeah, and even Kabay coming back into the starting lineup, he didn't look terribly good. He was blasting shots over the bar, got himself a yellow card. He didn't look in the flow at all.
Not a great match for old Johan Kebab.
So here are two questions for Man City. Fabian Delph, who comes in for Yaya Toure, he scores a goal and he looked great. That City team looked more dynamic than, I mean, they're playing a really terrible team at home. But Fabian Delph and David Silva kind of looked like he was back to his old self.
Yeah, and Yaya Toure didn't start. Kevin De Bruyne did nothing. So it's a weird time for midfielders on that Man City team.
I would love to see Fabian Delph get a regular starting role. I mean, I like him as a player. Even at Villa, he was always a spark plug there, as everyone knows. And if he does, he's another Dele Alli-type midfielder.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he definitely plays farther back than Dele Alli does, but...
he won't play every week, though, right? I mean, how many game weeks is even... I know he was injured at the start of the season, but he is not a consistent starter on that team. There's no way.
I mean, given what a bitch Yaya Toure is, he wouldn't stand for it.
Yeah, exactly.
He would make everyone's life a living hell at that club.
Yeah, exactly.
But David Silva, any temptation there? 9.9 million. He's a goal and an assist. He's combining with Aguero entire game. If that duo gets going.
It's a good game for Silva. It's actually his first goal on the season, surprisingly. He had no goals and 7 assists going into this match. Very surprising, right?
He's a real Mesut Ozil.
Yeah, I guess so. Circa 2013, 2014 Mesut Ozil.
Yeah, exactly.
Not really. I mean, we talked about this a little bit on an earlier podcast, but you know, the problem with Silva is actually Silva would be an interesting player if you were like leading your league. If you were trying to just hold off people below you, he's not a bad player to have because he's so consistent, and there's so many matches where he'll get you somewhere between like 5 and 9 points or so. You know, like he'll get one goal and a bonus point, and you know, like and like the clean sheet 1 point bonus. You know, so he'll get 9. But
well,
I think
if you swap De Bruyne for Silva, you're pocketing 0.9 million right there.
Yeah, Silva's just not. If you're trying to catch up, though, I don't think he's a great player to have because he's not explosive enough.
Yeah,
and you know, I mean, not that having the like tick 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 of 6 to 9 points every week isn't incredibly. I don't know. I mean, also he's been really injured this year, and I'm sure they're treating him gently. So I'm not really thinking about Silva at all, to be honest with you. Just not really on my radar. I assume the same with you.
All right. Yes, agreed. It's a wait and see. It's a monitor his progress.
Right.
Southampton 3, West Brom 0. This is the last fixture we want to touch upon in our review of Game Week 22. Mostly just for things that are happening off the field with Southampton. Everyone's favorite Queen's Park Rangers striker, Charlie Austin, coming in now at the game at 7.0 million pounds. Instant starter?
I don't think so. No, he hasn't played since mid-December with an injury.
Probably a little rusty.
I'm surprised that this hasn't come up more often because Charlie Austin has not played a competitive match in about a month. There's a doubt about whether he's even going to make the 18 this weekend. It probably won't. And then once he comes back in, he'll probably come off the bench at least twice. So I wouldn't even be considering Charlie Austin until about game week 25. And that ends that question.
we got a lot of questions about him.
Yeah, Trevor Ingerson asked about Charlie Austin playing time. Egan O'Keefe, who, hey, you know, all credit to him. He's doing way better than us this year. said, do you think Austin is worth a shot or is he going to be just another squad filler for Southampton? Some man for the goals last year, but for a much worse team. So I do think that when Austin is healthy, he can slot in pretty well to this team. I think that what the Southampton team needs is a guy who can finish, and he's certainly going to get the ball. You know, I mean, it's like
right.
with Mane and Tadic, and even guys like James Shane Long might be on his way out actually. But
oh, really, where's he going?
Liverpool, apparently.
That's not going to happen.
It's a rumor. I don't know. We'll see.
That would be crazy for Southampton to get rid of Shane Long if Graciano Pelle isn't even playing, and Charlie Austin is rusty as hell. That's a strange one. That is a strange
one.
Yeah,
so maybe that won't happen. But I do think that when Austin is at full strength, he will start over Shane Long. I think he's a better player than Shane Long. I can't believe they got him for $4 million. That is such a cheap transfer fee. I think he was out of contract at the end of the year, so maybe QPR just wanted something. And I still don't totally understand why Crystal Palace didn't just pull all the stops to bring him to that squad. Seems like such a good fit for that team.
Okay, so on the other side of that Southampton fixture is West Brom, and we have a question from Shabo Shotetsi saying, where did Matt Target come from all of a sudden? Who knows? He's been on the bench. A lot of people had him way earlier in the season.
Yeah, he was filling in for Ryan Bertrand earlier in the season.
Exactly. But yeah, he comes out of nowhere to get a huge haul in game week 22. I wouldn't bet on that for future game weeks. But then,
you know, what's interesting is he had 12 in game week 21 and 11 in game week 22. He has, two assists and, he had an assist and 3 bonus points in game week 21 and an assist and 2 bonus points in game week 22.
Matt Target is leaving me breathless right now. I am breathless. I'm like clutching my collar.
And well, okay. So, and Ryan Bertrand is also playing. Jose Font is playing. Cedric is playing. So I guess I don't know enough about Southampton's lineup to know how this works, but they are starting 5 defenders right now. And Matt Target has assists in the last 2 matches. So, I mean, I guess Brennan, that's like Reese Oxford to Matt Target right there, man. There's your like for like transfer.
Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And then as soon as I do that, Matt Target won't see the light of day for the next 18 game weeks.
He'll turn into Reese Target. Reese Target. the morph.
I mean, it's working. Whatever Koeman is doing, it's working. They have 2 clean sheets in a row. So both of us owning Virgil van Dijk, praise be.
Yeah.
Well, but anyway,
if you needed a little more money for Aguero, though, I suppose you can make an argument that turning a more expensive defender into Matt Target could be an interesting way to free up a little bit of cash. The problem, though, is that the next 2 matches are away to Man U and away to Arsenal. So if you can transfer him in and then shelve him for the next 2 weeks, then he'd be an interesting option.
You can't put him against our heavy hitter, Wayne Rooney. It's just not going to happen for you, Matty.
Rune Pig would not stand for that.
All right, so Sheppo also asks, how many West Brom defenders are you getting for the nice run of fixtures? I find this to be a little bit of a strange question because I'm wounded by Craig Dawson, who I brought in for a good West Brom run earlier in the season, and he didn't manage anything but I think a goal, but no clean sheets. Now, I look back at their old fixtures, and West Brom have only kept 1 clean sheet since game week 10, and that clean sheet was against Newcastle. So in the last 12 game weeks, that's 1 clean sheet. I'm not interested.
It's a bit shocking, right? I mean, it really points to the kind of received wisdom that you have about these – about what a Tony Pulis team looks like, right? It's like Tony Pulis teams, they grind out nil-nils and 1-0s. It's like, well, actually, this season they have not done that. Although they've also been a team in decline for several weeks. So
they have. They just really have. I mean, that whole team is the defense. All of their goals come from defenders. I don't know. They're just not a very good team. And strange as it is to say, like you said about Tony Pulis sides, but they've kept like 5 clean sheets on the season. It's not good enough.
I'm glad he asked the question, though, because it is sort of an outside-the-box angle, I suppose, on the next few game weeks. And, I mean, the fixtures are fantastic. They really are. I mean, they're home to Aston Villa, home to Swansea, away to Newcastle, Everton, which is not a great fixture, and then home to Crystal Palace. So in the next 5 game weeks, they have really a good shot at 3 clean sheets, possibly 4, right? And you know, the way to Newcastle could be a tough one, I suppose, because Newcastle's looking a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
But, you know, and their defenders are cheap. So,
marginally cheap. I mean, the 2 nailed on guys, Craig Dawson and Gareth McCauley, that's 5.0 and 5.1.
I feel like it's not that cheap. What was from, it's kind of a tough one. I feel like I would be looking at, I would be looking more at Danny Simpson. At Leicester, but you know, if I needed another, I don't know. I'll just make this easy because I'm okay with you. I think that they're not keeping enough clean sheets right now. The home fixtures do look good, but you'd sort of be like holding on faith that they will return to the kind of clean sheet keeping team they were, at the end of last season and I suppose a little bit at the beginning of this season. I mean, really, just a real downward spiral for our boy Boaz Myhill too.
I know he seems like such a likable Cheppy.
He does. I know.
I would say look at the West Ham defense, Shepo. Instead of West Brom, go one further down in the alphabetical pecking order, and look at West Ham, because what they have upcoming after this Man City fixture, they've got Villa, Southampton, Norwich, Sunderland, Spurs, Everton, Watford, Chelsea, Crystal Palace. It's a pretty decent run, and you have to believe that West Ham is going to come out of that with three or four clean sheets.
Yeah, especially if you could bring in Aaron Cresswell if you have the money for it.
Yeah. I mean, Cresswell is 5.6, so he's not dirt cheap. But guys like Tompkins and Ogbonna are all, and Winston Reid are all on that West Brom level or cheaper.
That's true. Although I think I'd be looking at, I would, it'd be worth the $500,000, I think, to move up to Cresswell just for that attacking threat is so prevalent with him.
All right, so we've got a few more questions to answer. Some coming in from Twitter. Again, we're at Hail Cheaters, and then our Facebook page, facebook.com/alwayscheating. Josh, give us a few questions. Let's drop some knowledge.
All right, here's the first one. Siraj Grish asks, Liverpool have some good fixtures coming up. Are any of their players, Firmino in particular, worth considering, or do we just avoid all of their players because it's Liverpool?
I mean, perhaps avoiding them. They've been so schizophrenic the last couple of months. My immediate from the hip response to this is Jordan Henderson. 6.5 million. He looked really ready for it against United. He had a couple shots on goal. He was getting forward, very active, and he's got a brain. It's hard to tell what's going through Firmino's mind moment to moment.
But Firmino is an interesting option, though. I mean, I know that we were sort of joking about it earlier on the podcast, but in this weird moment where none of the midfielders are really producing, and that includes Mesut Ozil, I mean, they're, you know, and Kevin De Bruyne and a lot of other players. I mean, I think that, you know, there are a couple. So one player that we haven't talked about at all in this podcast who we really have to take seriously now as an option is Wijnaldum. You know, Giorgio Wijnaldum, Jorginho, excuse me.
Call him the Weej.
The Weej is 6.9 million and has picked up two goals and an assist in the last two game weeks. Fixtures for them are decent, not great, but decent. If you look at the top midfielders in the season, he's actually crept into third spot. He's above Barkley, Arnautovic, De Bruyne, Ayew, well, Yaya Toure.
He's only doing that on the back of his four-goal game against Norwich, which was a total fluke.
Well, no, but even if that game never happened, he still scored five goals. So he's got nine goals and four assists in the season. But he had four in that game. But I mean, that's like saying if Sergio Aguero didn't have his five game. I mean, Sergio Aguero doesn't have his five goal match against Newcastle. It's not like one goal in the season. So
sure,
yeah.
You're not answering Siraj's question about Liverpool, though, or maybe you are, in saying instead of Liverpool, consider a Newcastle relegation scrap.
You're right. I went rogue for a minute there. but the point was, people like Firmino and Wijnaldum are worth considering right now because, you know, we're sort of at that point in the season where there's, you know, like a lot of the players who've been in great form are not in the form they were in before. And if you can pinpoint those players and find players who are interesting replacements, it's a good chance to make up some points. And so Firmino is one who is a real gamble because there are.
Because he's not been in any form apart from those two goals against Arsenal.
I just assumed that he had five or six goals in the season.
No, he has three goals.
I was kind of shocked when it was just three. You don't really know what you're going to get with him. There are those moments, though. You know, it's funny that it's against the two best teams, but you know, he looks so good against Manchester City and so good against Arsenal, and you just think, God, like when is this going to happen for him? You know, when is it all going to come together? He's probably
next season. That will
probably next season. Actually,
I think it will next season. Jordan Henderson.
I don't know. I mean, does Henderson have any goals or assists in the last, like, all season, really? What has he done?
He has one goal and two assists, but he's been out for most of the season with that foot injury. But he's back, and
he has nothing. He has no goals or assists in the last six game weeks, though.
He's just a class player. You look at Firmino, and you're not quite sure what you're getting. You look at Henderson, it is still in doubt if he'll produce or not, but he's class. And if it does come through, it'll be consistent.
Okay, fair
enough. And he's on penalties. I mean, that's your straightforward answer right there.
All right. Well, you're very strident. You're sounding like John T right now. You're very strident in your thinking.
Okay, that's your clue to have me pipe down.
So I think that Firmino or Henderson are interesting options. Benteke is probably too far down the pecking order because there are so many top forwards that you could pick right now. Yeah. Moreno's underlying stats remain fantastic, even though they have not translated into anything right now. Mm-hmm. So maybe in the end, you just have to stay away because it's Liverpool. And it's just not coming together yet for this Jurgen Klopp team. And he doesn't know who his best players are. Clearly, like, half this team is going to be gone next year, right? Yeah. I mean, it's a total turnover. And he's just trying different combinations. They're not going to get relegated. They're probably not going to even contend for one of those Europa League spots. And I'm not even sure he'd want to at this point. I mean, if they had a real shot at the Champions League, that'd be one thing. But the worst thing that could happen to them is to have a shot at the Champions League and then fall into one of those Europa League qualifying spots where you're playing like in June. You know, against some like random club.
Minsk is beautiful in June. I have to
say. Right, exactly. He doesn't want that. So he's better off finishing like 10th. And then all they have next year is the Premier League. And they're not flying to play Celtic or something in October.
Right.
So I think that's So I guess the point is I think it probably is best just to stay away. And I don't know. Firmino has one more if he looks good in the next match, then I would look at him again, I think. He's a little expensive, though, as part of the problem. He's 7.8. It's 1.4 million more than Mahrez, right? I mean, I know Mahrez has fallen off, but it's too much.
All right, next question comes from Chris Moran. He asks, is it worth holding on to Ighalo for one more week, or is his time done? Now, we spent a lot of time talking about the heavy hitters that you can't afford to replace Ighalo with.
I would hold him for one last week.
Home to Newcastle. Newcastle's defense is kind of diabolical on its day. Mm-hmm. And I think Deeney and Ighalo still were combining well against Swansea. They weren't able to get a goal out of it. I mean, they weren't helped by being surrounded by nobody else who was willing to help.
Right.
But yeah, I could see him scoring against Newcastle for sure. I mean, I'd kind of be surprised if he didn't.
Newcastle. Yeah, I agree. I did love, by the way, that Jan Mott to Wijnaldum goal in Newcastle. It was like the only two fantasy players anyone would consider owning, combining to score that goal.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. I mean, Watford does have still a compelling run coming up. Newcastle, then home to Chelsea. Chelsea are no big shakes defensively right now. Tottenham, we all remember how Ighalo obliterated Eric Dier to score against Spurs just a couple weeks ago. And Crystal Palace, also not great defensively right now.
But they've looked anonymous the last two game weeks. And there are just too many other options. So yeah. I think you just have to, he's cheap and it's hard to get rid of him because he's, his price is still only, what, is he in the 6 millions right now?
Yeah, like, I think he's 6.5.
Yeah, so he's still, so that's not too bad, 6.4. So for not that much more money, you could move up to someone like Giroud, who is probably offering a more consistent goal scoring threat.
Yeah, I mean, we were all very quick, except for you, Josh, to drop Jamie Vardy, and Ighalo seems to be in that same doldrums that Vardy is. It's ultimately time to move on.
Yeah, I agree.
Sooner or later.
Well, the Vardy thing was just tough because I thought about dropping him wrong game week 20, but then the Bournemouth at home, Aston Villa away, and two of the next three game weeks, it just seemed like there was a chance that he could do something there, and obviously didn't. He almost scored. That would have changed things a lot, but
yeah,
whatever. Move on.
No, all right. Next,
yeah, Vardy's probably gone on my team.
Next question.
Next question comes from Tom Butcher. He says, "I'm thinking of ditching Mahrez and KDB. Who would you bring in?" He says he already has Payet, Ali, and Ozil.
It's a good question because, let's see, my midfield right now, Stanislas, Ali, De Bruyne, Mahrez, and Ozil. I'm not in too dissimilar shape. Payet is one of those guys I'm looking to try and figure out a way to get him in.
Yeah, Jordan? I think, the Arsenal, I don't think you'd want to do the Arsenal the non-Ozil midfielders right now. None of them are delivering consistently enough. If you are willing to wait, so you could make, if you wanted to get rid of Mahrez, you were just done with them. I think that the, you know, someone like Wijnaldum is an interesting option. Or even Ross Barkley. I mean, yeah, he hasn't really done much the last two game weeks, but Swansea and Newcastle back-to-back, I mean, those are great home fixtures.
Yeah, I think they have a good run of fixtures coming up. This is an interesting question, too, because you have two very different options in terms of who to bring in, depending on if you're dropping Mahrez or Kevin De Bruyne, because Kevin, you're like 10 million plus getting rid of KDB. We were talking about earlier, maybe doing a swap between KDB and David Silva.
Yep. I mean, that's definitely something to think about.
What about Alexis Sanchez? Give us the latest injury report on Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah, the latest on Alexis Sanchez, that looks like he is set to come back this weekend. May not be set to start, but
yeah.
I'm definitely looking at, you know, a De Bruyne to Sanchez move is a move that makes a lot of sense. If not this game week, then possibly next game week.
Right. This is such a tough question because this is the last couple of game weeks have not been game weeks for midfielders. We haven't seen a lot of production there. So guys who were darlings just a few weeks ago, like Arnautovic or Ozil, are being replaced, or Payet. Now you've got Eriksen coming off of a two-goal game week. Of course, I don't have him in my squad anymore.
You could argue for keeping De Bruyne, I suppose, for those Sunderland and Leicester fixtures, even possibly that Spurs fixture.
Yeah, De Bruyne might actually even look a little bit different if the City team starts really firing with Aguero coming to the fore.
Yeah, he did pick up 6 points, you know, in the game against. I mean, it feels like a completely forgotten 6 points.
Yeah,
like no one's impressed by it because we know what he can do. But you know, it was not terrible, and he looked pretty good in different, you know, phases in the match. So
yeah.
Yeah, he actually looked pretty good against Everton too, I thought. So, you know, he's, given his fixtures coming up, I think he is maybe less essential than Mahrez. I mean, Mahrez really looks out of form right now.
Yeah.
And the fixtures for them are not fantastic. I mean, Stoke at home, you can see them being shut out there. Liverpool, another tough fixture, away to Man City after that. I mean, it's kind of heartbreaking to get rid of Mahrez. I mean, so yeah, and then they're actually away to Man City and Arsenal back-to-back matches in game week 25 and 26. So
yeah.
I don't think that getting rid of Mahrez is going to kill you. And he's still not that expensive. So you could you could take him out for, and it's not like he has to be out of your team forever. You know, you take him out for 4 weeks and then you can bring him back in game week 27 when they play Norwich and West Brom at home back-to-back.
Yeah.
Not so bad.
Well, on that, we have another question from Twitter from Alex at AlexWaterBaby. He says, "Hello, boys. Love the pod. If you only had one spot in your midfield, who would you take, Mahrez or Payet?" And I think I know how both of us are going to answer. Well, I know how I'm going to answer, but it's got to be Payet, right?
Yeah, I think it's got to be Payet. Just given the fixtures coming up, given the way he's looked the last few game weeks, given that he doesn't miss penalties every week, I think that's a big one. I feel like we shouldn't talk ill of Mara. Let's just move on. Yes, definitely Payet. I feel bad about. I don't want to shit on Mahrez too much.
He will go down as a great folk hero of the 2015-2016 season, and a couple missed penalties can never take that away from him. We love you, Riyad, wherever you are.
They're still joint top of the table, and I think we all see the collapse coming. But I really hope they at least hang on for a Champions League spot. How cool would that be?
Yeah. It would be glorious. Would be glorious. All right, FPL Junior asks, at Hell Cheaters, what defenses should we invest in? Are Gomez and Hennessy now going to get dropped or at threat of it? Pantil and bad keeping are issues there. So we kind of touched upon all these issues earlier in the pod, but just to recap, what defenses are titillating you right now, Josh?
I'm always titillated, Brandon, whether it's defenders or anything.
Defenses are just such a freaking maddening crapshoot this season.
It's a really tough time for defenses. It's hard to find. I mean, I guess West Brom, who we talked about earlier, is an interesting option. Just because their fixtures are so good. Even though we've both said that neither of us are considering them, they're still an option.
Yeah, and West Ham on top of that, I think their fixtures after Man City are starting to look really great.
Yeah, I mean, the Everton fixtures and the West Brom fixtures are the best fixtures over the next 4 to 5 game weeks. But in both cases, you're looking at teams that can't keep clean sheets, and so it comes back to the classic form versus fixtures question. I tend to be more of a fixtures player than a form fixture.
Right.
This season really has been more of a form season. So I think it's hard to find a heavy hitting defense that makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you want to bring in a defender for a couple weeks that you could stash on your bench and move in and out. I mean, I think Leicester is an interesting option long term. You wouldn't want to play them every week, but you know, Stoke and Liverpool, those two weeks, I could see them keeping clean sheets in those. I'm not saying they will, but it's certainly possible.
Yeah.
And then you stash them for a couple weeks, and then you can play them again at home to Norwich and home to West Brom and Newcastle in game weeks 27, 28, and 30. And those are interesting. It's an interesting option. I'm excited to have a Man U defender for the next few game weeks because I think at home to Southampton, home to Stoke, and away to Sunderland in 3 of the next 4, I think they can keep clean sheets in all 3 of those.
Yeah.
Or 3 out of 4 of those. There's an away match to Chelsea, which might be a tough one. But
now, this was another tweet that I commandeered on at Hail Cheaters, but Ashley Williams, our most favorite handsomest person in the entire Premier League. Swansea has away to Everton, away to West Brom, home to Crystal Palace, and home to Southampton. Clean sheets, maybe. You know, that defense has looked pretty strong the last month or so.
I think it's possible. I hope so. We love our Swans, don't we, Brandon?
Absolutely. My God.
Yeah.
Beautiful animal.
I'm feeling kind of the same way you are about defense. It's hard to have a good read on them right now. I mean, I don't know that we could recommend any particular defensive team with any confidence. I mean, even Spurs, who we sort of there's this idea that Spurs is kind of the team that's keeping the clean sheets right now, but they really aren't, and they gave up a lot of disappointing goals. And I don't know. I just think that PBA goal over the weekend was it was a ridiculous goal.
Well, it was
an insane counterattacking goal. I mean, it came out of absolutely nothing.
Well, the problem was Dele Alli was left there to defend on the wing, and he just was not equipped in any way, shape, or form to guard PVA.
Yeah.
To guard him. Again, with the basketball references.
Okay. The final question actually comes from El Magico on Twitter, but it's about double game weeks. And so we're gonna shelve the double game week question until next week or even possibly the following, because we just don't know enough right now until the Capital One Cup fixtures are completed. And right now they're it's like a head. It makes your head spin to think about how many permutations there are.
Yeah,
because it's not just the 4 teams, but all of the teams they play as well.
Yeah,
and the makeup dates haven't been decided yet, and so we'll know a lot more once we know who actually makes the Capital One Cup final. I should just say the League Cup final. I'm not being paid by Capital One Cup to say their name.
What's in your wallet, Josh?
So let's plan to have a double game week, like really get into it, because there's a lot of the double game weeks. I mean, it's going to be so fascinating this year how to play them, because you have second half wild cards, you have
triple captain base boost.
All of the chips.
It's called the bench boost, the base boost. Like it's an old boombox radio from my junior high school days.
So I think you can move up hundreds of thousands of spots if you play these double game weeks right, and so I want to give it the time it deserves.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we've dawdled long enough. It's finally time to get into the optimizer. So get into your Maxell chair, Josh, which I know you're fond of, and let's look at game week 23 and set our teams here.
Okay, let's do it.
You have the fixture list in front of you. Let's take
us through it. I do. All right, so
you're
fixtures.
So prepared.
Yeah, I am ready this time. We have 8 fixtures on Saturday and 2 fixtures on Sunday. This might be a fun weekend to get together and watch some games. I don't have
Absolutely.
Any plans.
I kind of
Oh, wait. Oh, you can't. It's your anniversary.
Yeah, there's also like Snowmageddon that's coming to the Northeast here in the States. So we could all be dead by this point.
All right, fine. This is more like a stay at home, maybe go out to get a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich and watch soccer for 7 hours. I'm also happy with that.
I actually love the weekends where there are no Monday games, so it's all cut and dry come Sunday afternoon.
The Monday games are no fun as an American. First fixture is the early morning fixture on Saturday is Norwich hosting Liverpool. I feel like we've talked about Liverpool a fair amount already in this podcast. I'll be watching this match with no fantasy implications, though I'll be watching it with interest to see how Liverpool look, because I'm sort of talking myself into this Firmino thing, but I need him to show me something. And your boy Jordan Henderson.
If I don't bring Jordan in, this will be a pure watch, as sponsored by the pure driven snow of Snowmageddon, Snowpocalypse.
It's an early pure watch. I mean, the first game is a pure watch. Does that mean you'll get up for it? Or if it's a pure watch and it's the early morning fixture as an American, do you just sleep right through that match?
No, I will set the alarm, I will fire up the iPad, and I will drift in and out of sleep as it plays over my shoulder.
I like that. Okay, yeah. That sounds about that. I think I'll probably do the same, actually. All right. In terms of predictions, I don't know, like 2-1 Liverpool.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say. It'd be a good test for Jurgen Klopp's boys. I think that they're ready to I think they're probably ready to demolish a team. Just sheer anger exuding out of poor Jurgen Klopp and his gritted teeth.
And they could keep a clean sheet in this match. I mean, in terms of game week 23 clean sheets are a little hard to predict, but I think you could see 2-0 here as well.
Yeah. Unless Mbappe gets on the pitch.
Spurs, Crystal Palace, not feeling good about this Crystal Palace team at all. I think this is like a 3-0 Spurs win. Not planning to captain Kane, although he may end up as my vice captain, depending on how some others play out this week.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to put the armband on Kane just because Selhurst Park has, fair or not, a reputation of being a bit of a bear pit. And as bad as Crystal Palace have looked, you expect them someday to actually show up and play a little defense.
I agree. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we were looking at Crystal Palace as an excellent defensive option. Yeah. And I think, I don't know.
I guess I don't really say that, Josh, to say I think Crystal Palace is going to put up a real fight here. But I just agree that Harry Kane, while I'm going to be super enthusiastic to start him in this game week, it's uncertain what his returns will be.
Yep, I agree. It's I'm certainly going to play all my Spurs players, and if I had a Spurs defender, I would play him too. So
Eric Dier, he's for me. He's my guy.
Hey, you got an assist from him midweek, so for nothing.
God, the Spurs defense is just so frustrating because they're so good, but clean sheets are just few and far between for them.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, okay. Let's move on.
Yep, Leicester hosting Stoke. Very hard game to predict. Yeah. I think that I would not be surprised if this is another 0-0 match.
Yeah.
And this is to go back to sort of bring the episode full circle, this is a really tricky one for me because I'm either going to stick with Jamie Vardy for one last week in order to have two transfers in order to bring in Aguero next week, or I'm probably going to turn Vardy into Wayne Rooney. And if I had Wayne Rooney, I'd be tempted to captain him this week. So it's I got to look at some numbers more. I mean, honestly, I have to do some actual work, I think, and like look at some underlying stats and I don't know, like have some people who are more mathematically inclined than me help me make this decision because it feels like a very tricky one. And if I don't go with Aguero, if I don't start to make the long-term Aguero move, then I'm sort of committing myself to not having him for several weeks possibly.
Right.
I mean, it could be an interesting thing because, if they win that, well, anyways, the double game weeks in the League Cup could really affect this decision too. So it's a tricky one.
This is a big, this is a big fixture for Vardy and Mahrez, because any manager who stuck it out with either of these guys up to this point, if they blank against Stoke at home, their ownership is going to plummet to next to nothing, I'm sure.
Yeah, and there's a good chance I'll have at least one player starting in this match, either Vardy or Mahrez.
Yeah.
Possibly both if I don't make a transfer.
And I have my favorite situation of playing one defender against another defender. I'll have Robert Huth up against Glenn Johnson.
Ooh.
Which always guarantees that it'll be a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, that's a great Liverpool-Stoke circa 2000. Wait, Liverpool-Stoke. That's right, because Huth is an old Stokey.
he is an old Stokey.
A Potter, I should say.
He's an old Potter.
He's made up a new mascot. So what do you think, Brent? I mean, how does nil-nil sound to you for this match?
I don't know. It sounds unlikely. I'm going to guess actually 2-3 Stoke win in a thriller.
Wow. Okay, so just one of those total change-up kind of matches where you think it's going to go one way and you think it's zigging and then it zags.
I do. Stoke, it seems to be like every three games they get into a mode where they'll just let in as many goals as they have to win.
They're kind of due for one of those games.
And Leicester is also due to score some goals. Like, this team is too good to, even though they're kind of on the decline, they're too good to not score any goals.
I can't decide if they're not scoring. I think it's a combination of the two. So that kind of answers it right there. But I can't decide if they've fallen off from an offensive point of view, or if they, you know, in other words, like they're missing chances and they're just not, converting as well as they were before, or if there really is a major tactical switch that is taking place right now with the way that what's their manager's name?
Claudio Ranieri.
Thank you. The way Ranieri is organizing this defense right now, right, and sort of playing for 1-0. You know, right. I don't know. I mean, because there was a lot of I know the announcers and they in the Leicester Aston Villa match basically said, you know, when you bring off Mahrez, it's a very conservative move, you know,
yeah,
and you're basically playing for 1-0, and he paid the price for it, you know. And then once they score, they didn't have enough creativity to score that second goal. So right. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, I think you're right. They could open up, but I actually I'm sticking with my 0-0 prediction.
All right, fair enough.
All right, that brings us to Man U Southampton.
So Southampton is on a bit of a roll. They are coming off of two clean sheets in a row. They're actually scoring goals, or they did against West Brom, three of them. But United is going to be really stingy here, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think, on fire means 1-0 for them. But in fact, so that's what I'm going to stick with. I say 1-0 Man United. Chris Smalling gets his first goal of the season. That is my goal scoring prediction and clean sheet of the week.
No, okay, I'll go with you on the score line, but I think David De Gea is actually going to score.
He's your goal. He's your guaranteed goal of the week.
Yeah, guaranteed. Yeah. Bet lots of money on that.
All right. So that. I think 1-0 seems about right.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
Sunderland. But Charlie Austin gets in for a late sub. Even.
Ooh. I don't think so. I think he does not make the squad yet. I mean, the guy hasn't played in a month.
Yeah.
I think he makes the squad in game week 24, and then maybe starts in game week 25.
All right, moving on.
Sunderland, Bournemouth. I think that this is actually the true pure watch of the week.
Yeah, this is going to be a great game. I mean,
Manone's back.
Vito Manone.
Vetoed the man.
I do love to say that name. It is fantastic.
It's a great name. And he looks like a Vito Manone, too. It's just great.
Now, there's nothing sadder than a Bournemouth that doesn't score goals. It just makes me delighted when Bournemouth is scoring. So I'm glad that they're playing Sunderland, who will let in goals. So I'd like to see Bournemouth score. I'd like to see them win this game.
And me too. Despite the fact that it feels like they've been playing really well the last, which they have been most of the last few, in the last few game weeks, they've been playing pretty well. But they're only 3 points off 18th place. And this really is a bit of a 6-pointer, it's not like Bournemouth is safe. I mean, I'd like to think they are, but I actually think they're probably going to lose this match, and I'm going to predict a 2-1 Sunderland win.
Oh, interesting. I was just going to ask you if I should start Junior Stanislas in this match, but I think you kind of answered my question.
I mean, it's possible. Sutherland have been playing a lot better. And I do not think they're going to go down this year, actually. I just can't imagine a Sam Allardyce team going down.
Right. All right. Yeah. It is agreed.
And it's because they'll be able to find a way to win games like this that they stay up.
It is agreed. Can you see an Arthur Burich against Jermaine Defoe, sort of tête-à-tête a la Olivier Giroud? I could see that.
If I close my eyes, I can see it right now.
Just squint really hard.
Another heavy week for Pure Watches, Brandon. Watford, Newcastle.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so the big question, Deeney and Ighalo, are they going to actually do something this week? And so...
So this is kind of a last chance saloon for these guys, for a lot of managers, I imagine.
Yeah, it is.
I think they will score a little bit, though. I think...
A little bit?
A little bit. Just a little bit. I'm going to say 2-0 Watford win.
2-1. Newcastle will get a goal. Mitrovic is going to score.
Okay.
We haven't even talked about Jonjo Shelvey going to Newcastle. You know, he was like giving a man of the match performance against West Ham.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a forgotten fantasy asset. Remember earlier
in
the season?
I do. I remember earlier this season. What do you want me to remember?
how we were betting who was going to score more fantasy points, Andre Ayew or Jonjo Shelvey.
That's true. I mean, AU is out to a big lead, but it's not impossible. I mean, let's take a quick look here. Let's just be super indulgent here for one second. Okay, so Shelvey is on 45 points on the season. He has one goal and three assists. Okay, and we go to Ayew. Ayew is on 101 points on the season.
Oh,
56 more points. Okay. He is on seven goals and three assists.
Okay.
So it is settled. Well, he cannot catch up to Ayew.
Jonjo is basically going to have to go on a Jamie Vardy-esque run to catch up.
He might have to actually break Vardy's record in order to overcome Ayew.
Well, if anybody can do it, it's Jonjo. So we're right. Rooting for you. We're rooting for you, Jonjo.
All right. So another pure watchy kind of game. We're running out of Aquafina here, Brandon. There's so many pure watches.
There's so many pure products out there to sponsor the segment.
West Brom, Aston Villa, a game. It's a Midlands derby, but I'm not really feeling this one. You know, not feeling too excited about this match.
I want my accolades, because the last episode of the podcast, I basically predicted 6 points from two games for Aston Villa, and they walked away with four, which for a Villa team is pretty damn good.
It's not bad. It was ludicrous. They scored points. Actually, no, I take that back. They were thoroughly outclassed by Leicester in the first half of that match and really played better than them in the second half. So it was a deserved draw for them against Leicester, but they should not be beating Leicester.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to say. I guess good on them.
I don't really know what to say about this West Brom Villa game. It's not terribly appealing.
Yeah, I've had Micah Richards buried on my bench for about 13 weeks, and he might actually – I guess I might start him in this match. He did start in the FA Cup replay today, and they kept a clean sheet, so that's encouraging. Although I'm not sure that Remy Garb would want to mess with his defense right now. Even though Michael Richards is the captain, I wonder if he has to work his way back into that rotation, given how they played the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and hey, and another transfer option is bringing in Mark Bunn, the newly minted starting goalkeeper for Aston Villa.
Pray 10 for Guzan. Yeah, I know.
Penalty save, man.
So, I know. Yeah, tough one.
Yeah. Bunn is actually more expensive than Guzan right now. Guzan's fallen so far.
I'm going to say that Aston Villa keeps the run going, their little mini run, and they beat West Brom 1-0.
Yep. I'm with you. Go Villains.
All right. And that brings us to the big match. Final fixture of Saturday, West Ham hosting Manchester City.
This will obviously...
The city of Manchester.
A fine city it is.
The whole city is going to be there. All 300,000 Mancunians are going to be there.
Wow, even like the babies and the old ladies?
Yeah, even the babies and the old ladies.
What an incredible game. I can't wait to watch this on TV to see the stands filled with all these people. That's obviously a huge fantasy game here for everyone out there captaining Sergio Aguero. I can't not captain him, I think, here.
I wondered about that. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. You could see him going wild, getting 2 goals and assists, 16 points again. I am not looking for I have Payet. I kind of hope you don't bring in Payet, so there's a little bit of a mano a mano going on in this one. But I think it'll be an interesting match. I think that Man City will win. I think they're looking a lot better, and I think they have to be the favorites to win the league at this point, especially the way Arsenal played the last couple of game weeks. I mean, they basically – well, I mean, there's no shame in drawing 0-0 at Stoke, but that Liverpool game was terrible. I mean, they gave up 2 points.
Arsenal's squad is just looking bedraggled in comparison to Man City's squad that's now on the upswing.
They really need Sanchez back.
So Aguero captaining here, or else the other big option, I think, is in the next fixture, Everton at home hosting Swansea. Lukaku is due for a haul, and I feel like that's a good differential captain this week.
That's who I'm planning to captain at the moment, for sure. I think it makes the most sense, just given how well he's performed at home over the course of the season. His form is terrible, though, so it just depends on how much you value that.
I haven't watched.
If I had Aguero, I'd probably captain him too, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I'll probably just captain both of them. It'll be fine.
Yeah, that's good.
I can't believe it. Nobody's thought of that. But it's easy to call this a win for Everton. They'll be seething after that draw against Chelsea. And not that having terrible results land on their plate at the end of games have caused Martinez to turn the ship around in the last month. But
Right. Okay, so that brings us to... So, yeah, I think Man City, 3-1 Man City over West Ham is my prediction.
Okay. And Payet with a sensational free kick for that goal.
I'll say assist. Free kick to Antonio that Antonio connects on. I kind of like that guy. Antonio's an interesting midfielder. If you wanted Payet's obviously the player you'd want there, but if you didn't have Payet money, you could definitely look at Antonio as an interesting option.
And Antonio is only appealing because he actually plays. He gets minutes. A guy looks like a bowling ball just sort of rolling around the field.
4 goals and 2 assists though in the last 5 fixtures.
I don't know. I don't.
Or two like, goals. Yeah. Excuse me. 2 goals and 4 assists. Not 4 goals.
I do not. For the record, I do not like Antonio.
All right, but if he's only 5.2 million, so if you needed it, if you're trying to bring in Sergio Aguero and you're like Kevin De Bruyne, you're out. I need 5 million. I think that is an interesting option to look at.
All right.
You're the one talking about how good these West Ham fixtures are. Even if you don't start him every game week, he's not a bad option.
Yeah, but they have 10 other players on the field that you can bring in, apart from Antonio. I actually, if I was going to make any sub last week, which I chose, any transfer last week, which I chose not to, it was going to be Adrian, the West Ham goalkeeper, and I would have started him against Newcastle.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Well, you
got lucky. All right, let's keep moving here. We're at the 9-hour mark. So Sunday morning, Everton hosts Swansea. I've already talked about this. Am I caught in a time loop, a Looper-esque time loop right now? You did bring up Lukaku, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, we basically predicted Lukaku is probably going to get a good haul in this game, which I believe means we're calling this a win for Everton. And yes, probably a very good opportunity for Everton to get a clean sheet.
Yeah, which means they won't. So let's say it's another 2-2 draw.
I love it. I mean, at this point, we're not even calling wins or losses for Everton. We're just trying to predict if Lukaku is going to score or not.
That's true. Okay, and that brings us to the final fixture of the game week, Arsenal hosting Chelsea. I am actually planning to start Hector Bellerin in this game. I don't feel too nervous about that. That transfer has actually worked out really well. Started off a little rocky with the 4-0 loss to Southampton, but otherwise he's so steady. You know, would have liked a couple more bonus points. Koscielny, between those two, he would have been the player to bring in, I guess. It was kind of a coin flip.
Yeah, or Nacho.
Yeah, or Nacho for that matter. Yeah. So I think Arsenal will win this match. I think they need to win this match.
Well, if they don't win this match, then they'll lose the league. To me, there's no doubt about that. It will just be so crushing they lose.
They have. It's crazy. Like they're like the only team that hasn't beaten Chelsea this year. Like everyone's had their fun except for Arsenal. So it's time for Arsenal to get their win against Chelsea. I predict a. Oh God, I think this is going to be a horrible tense game. I will predict a 1-0 Arsenal win. I think they'll score early and then hold on for like 78 minutes with a Giroud goal.
Okay, that brings us to the end, to the close of another epic episode of Always Cheating. I hope you're still with us, listeners.
I'm happy with how this one came out, though. It's more fun to react than to predict, I will say that much.
Yeah, absolutely. We're reactors, for sure.
You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, also Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating, and Twitter. We're at Hail Cheaters. You can also send us an email. Our Gmail account is alwayscheating@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening, guys. I have two things left to say. Hail Cheaters and Poku forever.
Praise Poku. Can't wait to see you in March, Poku.
We love you, Poku.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.